Good evening, everyone. It's that time of year again. The holidays are upon us. Everybody is filled with mirth and cheer to go through and celebrate the Yule time. And so here, with this episode of Westmarch Workshop, we're going to take a little bit more relaxed look at things for what's coming out. We got a lot of great things to look forward to coming shortly. And we've got some we and it would just it wouldn't be the holiday season without some sort of gifts. So we've got the giveaway that we're going to be announcing our winners for tonight. And so just sit back, take it easy, and let us go through and enjoy everything that the holidays might have in store for you, our lovely Diablo community. I am Nineball, and unfortunately not with me again today is Leviathan. He's been feeling a little bit under the weather, and so he wasn't able to go through and make it tonight. He might, depending upon whether he feels better, he might pop in here later on the show or not. I'll have to go through and wait and see, but it'll just be me again for a solo episode. We do have some interesting things to go through and talk about, some little changes since our last episode last week. And of course, probably one of the big things that people have been looking forward to is the announcement of the winners for our Necromancer contest. I know it's been delayed a little bit, but I definitely wanted to go and get that one out of the way, so that way some people out there have something to look forward to, a little gift to look forward to for the holiday season here. And then we also got some really cool things to talk about as far as just general gifts for the everyone out there and their favorite action role-playing game here of Diablo 3. So, yes, welcome, welcome. I hope that you're able to identify the music that I'm playing in the background. I picked this one specifically. It's Ice Caves from Diablo 2 because it's ice. It's fitting. There's a joke in there somewhere, I promise. But yeah. So since our last episode, we've had a couple of interesting things come up. We've had a surprise QA from Joe Shelley that we got on Facebook last week. We also had some additional hotfix changes to the PTR, and probably the biggest news of all, we finally have that confirmation of the end of season 8 and the start of season 9. Now, I know I didn't make an exact guess. I kind of guessed generally, and it was pretty good, but I know Steven was dead on in his guessing of when this whole season change would go and happen. So let's go ahead and talk about that one, because it's probably one of those ones where it's most of you people are going to know what's going on with that one. But season 8 officially is going to end on Friday, December 30th. So that's going to be the week after this one, if we're recording here on the 21st. So it'll be ending at around 5 p.m. within your area. It's 5 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Central European time, and 5 p.m. I believe that's Korean Standard Time for each one of the three major regions. So you'll be able to go through and you probably have a handle on where that coordinates out to your individual time zones as when the season 8 itself will end. And then we only have a little bit of a break. We've got a week-long break for the beginning of season 9. So season 8 will be ending on December 30th, and season 9 is going to be starting on January 6th. And as usual, it'll be starting at the 5 p.m. within your relative areas. We do plan on going through and bringing the gang back together. We, of course, didn't have that big of a stream event for season 8, but season 9, we are going to go through and try and pull something together and do one of our all-night streams. So definitely look forward to hearing more from our individual Twitters as well as the show Twitter about what our plans are for that. But you can definitely count on us going through and doing something. A lot of people are excited about season 9. We got a brand new patch. We have the season or the sorry the anniversary event, the Darkening of Tristram, that should also be coming out with that. Because we're going to go through and guess, even though they haven't officially announced the patch date, as they continue on with their trend, that should probably mean the patch will hit on Tuesday, January 3rd. We should have the patch 2.4.3 with the Darkening of Tristram and a whole bunch of other events, or the content changes that are going to be going in there. So we look forward to that. They have been changing some things up with, don't know how many other Blizzard games that you play, but Heroes of the Storm actually did something different. They didn't patch on a Tuesday. They patched on a Wednesday. And so, who knows? We should get the patch on January 3rd, but we might not. They seem to actually being open to changing dates as needed, but that's what we should be looking forward to for the beginning of Season 9, as well as the patch 2.4.3 dropping. I'll also luckily coincide with our next episode, which should be recorded on January 4th. So you can go through and check us out there, where we'll be covering the full gamut of all the changes that went into the patch and some of the things you can look forward to as we recount everything that will be going into the Season 9. As I also mentioned, one of the other big things that we had was the PTR updates that we had last week. So on December 16th, they pushed another round of hot fixes. And some of the little ones that they did is they upped the damage on the dust devils that are made by Whirlwind for barbarians. And they talked a little bit more about this one in the Facebook Q&A, which we'll be talking about in a little bit. They also fixed some unintended interactions with Phantasm, the Spirit Barrage, the Rune Phantasm for Witch Doctors, where it was getting some just funky things when using a couple of the different items that all affected how Spirit Barrage and Phantasm worked. They further increased the bonus on Wrath of the Wastes. I know I had just talked about this one last week, but the 6-piece set bonus has been increased from 400 to 800% to further go and amp that one up. That because they want to push further damage over to the Whirlwinds and away from the Dust Devils. They also almost seemingly is it's weird because on the last episode I was talking about how Juggernaut is a kind of like just like an auto skip for people once you get past a certain greater rift just because of how it doesn't interact with Bane of the Trapped and a lot of other things that now. They just take a flat 30% increased damage from all sources. As they realize just how bad the Juggernaut affix is, where it's a nice concept to want to go through and make something that's CC immune, but when so much of your damage is focused into Bane of the Trap, it's just like it's not worth my time. I don't know how much that's going to play into it. When you get to the very high, like the greater rift, like 95, 100 pluses, especially in the group meta, it probably will still continue to be an auto skip because the only way that you're able to survive is because of how much you're pulling things or slowing them or reducing their damage, and the fact that you can't really control those juggernaut affixes and keep them away from your DPSers probably is still going to be something that at the higher end you won't engage. But if you're still going and trying to level up, get your greater rift 75 clear, you probably will be a bit more. It's not that bad. I can go through and take them. The Succubus Bloodstar attacks, the little red bolts that they go through and shoot out, has had their damage reduced by 15%. But the travel distance and the travel distance itself has also been reduced. So it does less damage, won't go through and hunt you down as far. They are ones that can be a particular problem when you have a big group of them together, just how much they can go through, home in and hit you. They've also reduced the damage for the Khazra spears. That has been reduced by 15%. And now that one is one that they can be a big pain if you have a map where there's a lot of them. That are going through and ganging up on you is just a lot of unexpected damage that's really hard to dodge. One, because you can't see the spears on a lot of tile sets, and two, they travel fast. You also will they the they've also reduced the damage from the ice porcupine icicles. They're like the quill rats that spawn in the ruins of Sheshran. You can have those go through and pop up. And they it looks like they're trying to reduce some of the damage for some of the ranged mobs, make them not quite as harrowing when you're going through and fighting them. The other ones that they've done some little tiny tweaks to Greater Rifts. They've increased the number of mobs that can spawn. They will the Hellhide Tremors, Disentombed Hulks, Sand Dwellers, and Colossal Golgors. There's these basically the really big mobs. They can now spawn in somewhat larger groups. Some of them, particularly like the Golgors, that could be good just because they're worth a lot of completion on the Greater Rifts. It'll just be dependent on how much damage that you take from them. But going through and getting like big packs of them that you can go clump together and then burn down through, say, area damage and AoE effects, that could be nice to go through and push towards the Greater Rifts. And then now they also will spawn fewer Sand Wasp and Fallen Grunts on floors where they appear. I'm sure everyone will be happy about not having as many bees going and harassing you the entire time. And that was pretty much it for all of the hot fixes. I will be interested in seeing if they make any other changes to the Juggernaut affix before it goes live, because that one is just in particular has been a big point of contention for the people that are the higher end Rift clearers, because you come across like one or two of those, and your rift is pretty much over at that point. Because it's not even just you're gonna skip it, so it's not the time that it takes to go and do it, but it's now the amount of time that you've invested and you've had to skip two elite packs is just keep going. And finally, as far as like kind of like the round out our official news that we have is the QA that Joe Shelley went and did back on December 15th, last Thursday, and he sat down and answered like a bunch of questions on Facebook. They had everyone go through submit questions on Twitter, their Facebook page, the official forums. They're just going through and gathering general questions that they wanted to go and collect. And I'm gonna kind of go through summarize some of them, but just hit them up so that way, in case you missed the video, you'll be able to go and catch up and see everything that they went and talked about. So they asked, can you explain more in depth, the move to the 64-bit system will enhance our gameplay experience? It allows Direct11 support, as well as it's going to give you faster load times, as well as a lot of graphical improvements. The next question, are you happy with the current Paragon system, or do you think it needs to be reworked? The answer to this one is that they view the Paragon system as an alternative progression track, and that it allows for a broad portion of the Diablo audience to keep gaining power and making progress. They understand with like the ultra competitive players might not be happy with how the Paragon system works out, but they hope that the Challenge Rift system will help kind of take that place, and that more of those people that are really competitive will put more of a focus on Challenge Rifts than they will grinding Infinite Paragon for the seasonal leaderboards, and that there might be more competition within the Challenge Rift leaderboards. Do you have any plans to rework the Barbarian's Wrath of the Waste set? They did go through and retweak it for this PTR. They gave it some buffs. They changed the correlation, and they're trying to shift the damage away from the tornadoes. They want the majority of the damage to come from Whirlwind itself. And because the tornadoes is what really affects the gameplay. Everybody knows that Whirlwind Barbarians always had issues with lag and rubber banding, and what a lot of that comes down to is the tornadoes. So if they put less focus on that, they should be able to see some improvements in performance for the build, and which would hopefully lead to more people being willing and open to play it. And also, more of it is focused on what your barbarian's actually doing as opposed to little dust devils that you leave behind. But it is something that they will continue to watch and monitor. And, after he went through and answered that in the FAQ, they then went and addressed that in the the hot fixes that went out immediately afterwards, so that way it had more focus on the whirlwind while still going and buffing the dust devils to give you that little extra bump and damage for it. Next question was about the necromancer themes. And how poison was oddly lacking from it when that was one of the major trees for the necromancer back in D2, and it's something that they're still discussing, and that they have built really strong gameplay around the other themes. And while they haven't really brought poison into the mix yet, you could have a few runes that deal with poison, but they don't want to work. They don't want to focus on that much. They don't want to focus on that one too much because it begins to start encroaching upon the Witch Doctor style of play, which is really heavily focused around poisons and is one of its core themes of the Witch Doctor. So they want to focus on the things that separate the Necromancer and the Witch Doctor more so than focusing solely on the things that they might share, even though that is a core aspect of the D2 Necromancer. Will the PS4 and Xbox One players be going through and getting the anniversary event? And yep, they're going to be going through and getting the patch at the same exact time, going and allowing them to go and head into the Darkening of Tristram. Let's see. There's another question about the Saffron Wrap, because most of the legendaries, they need some sort of support or synergy from a set in order to really make it work. And they want to know it will overpower. Get that. They had considered potentially adding it into Wrath of the Waste, but they want to keep that as Rend and Whirlwind, and so it didn't overpower didn't have a fit within that build. And but it is going to be something that they're going to watch, see how that item might come into gameplay once it's out there in the wild and there are more people that are testing it and playing around with it, and see if there's another set that they might be able to add it into, or something else that they can work overpower into a rotation within a set to make it a bit more rewarding. The one question that we constantly always see, group play is more rewarding than solo play. Is something going to be done to reduce the disparity between the two? They do want to make changes to make the solo experience more fun, particularly while doing bounties, they said, as a focus. It's something they're working on. It's on their radar, but they didn't have anything else to share besides that. Are there any plans to rework the Akan set? This is something that they had mentioned in the Developer Chronicles previously. They are doing the update where they're adding in the seventh piece to the Akans to allow a bit more flexibility with the set. And then they're going to monitor how that is received by the community, what changes it makes to the build before they make any other changes with it. They want to monitor what that alone is going to do. And then once they kind of get a feel and the dust settles on that, they'll be more open and willing to, if additional changes are needed, they'll have a better understanding of what impact that seventh piece has, and they will be able to better focus in on, what changes to make to either make it more competitive or to focus in on a better niche. Are there going to be any more achievements? Once the Necromancer themselves comes out, there'll be a ton of new achievements that'll be associated with them. How do the developers feel about sets that outperform others, such as Firebirds? What kind of changes can we look forward to regarding set balancing, if any? Joe answered, "We're careful about making changes to things that are too strong because we don't want players to log in and be weaker. We're buffing other sets instead to potentially provide playstyles that have fallen by the wayside with more power so that players can use them without feeling too far behind." It's a direct answer. So that's kind of a core philosophy that they've had for a while. They don't like nerfing things unless it's just like way too overpowered than what they intended, such as the old, Wizard Twisters build. But they feel better about going through and bringing other things up, like we saw in this PTR, where a lot of class sets got some number tweaks that helped to try and boost their performance to maybe bring them up to the same level as some of the better, more competitive sets that are out there. Are there any plans to overhaul and improve the character skill system? And the answer is the skill system is a fundamental element, so as a live game, we wouldn't make changes to such an integral system. However, because of how the skill system works, that's what allows us to create such wild powers on legendary items, and this is how we're able to produce something like the Legacy of Nightmares set, for instance. So what that means is the skill system itself isn't going to change. You're still going to have your core skills and then runes to support that, or change the functionality of the skills slightly around the base theme. But you're not going to see any drastic changes. Anything that they want to do to make like big changes to them is going to be through sets or legendary powers. Can we get a new transmog set for seasonal rewards? He says that there are new cosmetics coming in season 9, new portrait frames, etc. As with every season, you do get like the new portrait frames. Sometimes you get a pet or a pennant. I think this one is particularly because you have the Conqueror's transmog. It's just been rotating through the same three base kind of like tiers. The head, shoulders. I think it's the legs or the chest and gloves, and then the pants and boots is like the three that it always rotates through and just continues to go in that cycle. If we'll get a new Conqueror's set, which I guess I don't know. You got the answer. When is season 8 ending and season 9 starting? Well, we got that one, even though he didn't directly answer it because it was a very soon. But we do have that one. Season 8, excuse me, is ending December 30th, whereas season 9 will be starting January 6th. Will there be an alternate true end game that can compete with Greater Rifts? We see seasons as a way to continue to engage with the game over a long period of time. We think that seasons keep the game fresh with the seasonal journey and the rerolling of new characters. We believe that this is an end game as well. To specifically address the question, Greater Rifts are the place to make your character as powerful as possible. There are also challenge rifts to look forward to. There will also be new build and challenge rifts to check out on a frequent basis, I guess, to kind of keep like that end game fresh. It looks like that's all that they have to share about that at the moment. Are there any plans to lessen the dominance of the Archon skill for wizards? We do feel that it is the dominant wizard skill with Delseer's Magnum Opus. However, is a set that doesn't use Archon and got a buff on the PTR. Or is they're saying Delseer's Magnum Opus, however, is a set that doesn't use Archon and it got a buff on the PTR, so that we hope people will check it out. And that it will have potential to shake things up in the future. They're always going and looking to go, like they answered previously, they're always looking to go through and try and maybe buff some of those underperforming sets to be better in line with those ones that are more dominant. This one is a bit of a question. Why don't community managers and developers interact more with the community? We are experimenting with a few different ways of communicating, with this Facebook live stream as a prime example. When people respond positively, it helps us understand which modes of communication people like more. We use that information, among other things, to help consider which platforms we will use and what will reach the most people. We don't abandon certain avenues, but we don't want to spread ourselves too thin either. We are always looking for more ways to open up the lines of communications. The developers do read the forums. I was going through the PTR forums, particularly last night, to look for things that we might change. As an example, there will be tweaks to Greater Rifts due to the direct feedback left by the community on the official forums. So we appreciate the feedback, especially when it's directed PTR feedback posts. So that's always been like a common trend. The developers, they don't read our suggestions. They don't. They're not in touch with the community. And mainly what that comes down to is I had this one idea and the developers didn't do it, so obviously they're not listening because my idea is the best. But if you've ever talked with any of them, or listened to actually, what they've had to say in a lot of these, live streams when they used to do the tavern talks or some of the lightning talks and stuff like that that they've done at BlizzCon, they do listen. They are interested in what we have to say. That doesn't always mean that we, the players, have the best suggestions or the best decisions. A lot of times we do make choices or we want to see changes made that directly benefits us, but might have a long-lasting impact on the playability of the game. If you get, if you start the season and then, I clear a rift on Torment 1 and then suddenly all of my gear is turned ancient, is that going to increase the longevity of the game? No. Will it be fun? Sure. But it's not good for the game from like a gameplay point of view. That is pretty like an extreme example, but just to understand that the developers are out there, and I do like the fact that they are looking to try and increase that communication, so that way they communicate with us with the changes that they're looking to potentially go and add in, through stuff like that Facebook live stream, or maybe just more of the Developer Chronicle posts, to get a better idea of what's going on under the hood. What are they cooking, back in the kitchen? And then the final question for the FAQ is, seeing as you work for Blizzard and particularly work on the Diablo team, what kinds of things does the Diablo team want for Christmas? Wyatt wants snow in Irvine for Christmas. Someone else refuted that immediately, so it's a contested battle. That someone was Nevelistus. I think I'm probably with her. I live in Florida for a reason. I don't like snow. And then some people are looking for the cosmic wings, and I'm personally looking for an ancient witching hour for my unhallowed essence demon hunter. So there you go. So some people on the Diablo team are still going through and searching for that perfect piece of gear to go through and finish up their sets. And I believe the one last little tiny tidbit that we had, for those of you that remember from BlizzCon, they had a bunch of these little lightning talks. They're 10 to 20-ish minutes in length, where they talk about one particular aspect of the game, and they're not streamed because they're up on the community stage, which there's no cameras or anything set up there. But Blizzard has started going and putting all those little Diablo lightning talks up on their YouTube page. So if you go and check out the Diablo channel on YouTube, you can go and find some of those lightning talks. They already have five of them up right now. As of today, the 21st, you've got Clickies, Traps, and Breakables with Neil Wojan, No Downtime in Diablo 3 by Kenneth Williams, The Evolution of the Cursed Events with Zavin, animation support from Non, and then the engineering, the design of set dungeons from Stuart. And so you've got a lot of these like little tiny lightning talks, so you can get a little inside glimpse of how maybe the developers handle a design challenge, how the technicians handle like server restarts, or even just how animators have to, what work goes into developing a new skill, or a new animation for a new skill as they go through and design it. So that is something to go through, and is definitely worth checking out. And again, because it's kind of like a solo episode, and I was sorry, I was a little bit unprepared with the holiday season, been putting in a lot of hours, so I didn't have quite enough time to pull up all of the feedback that we've collected from last episode and what we've gotten since the last episode. So for the community feedback, probably I'll still be another couple of weeks. It'll be the next episode. Once we get into 2017, we'll go and talk about that. But the one thing I did not want to leave, and absolutely had to go through and touch, and that's why I decided to go through and do the solo show here tonight, was because we have to talk about these necromancer skill the necromancer skill contest. And so these are the two winners that we felt were the best representations for like the necromancer skills. And again, everyone that went through and entered, we will be passing your ideas along. We'll be going through and putting the emails together and sending them off to the developers. But these are the two ones that really kind of stood out to us and really enjoyed. The first one that comes in is from Aaron. And we'll be replying via email to the people that won these contests. So don't worry about going through and getting in contact with us to go through and claim the prize. We'll be getting in contact with you, so that way, there's no chance that anyone going and trying to steal your claim. We'll be replying to the email that we got with your entry. So just keep an eye on that in order to go through and get it. You might, if you're not here in chat, you might get the response saying that you won before we even get this up on iTunes to know. But this first one comes in from Aaron Gates, and his skill that he went and created is called Balance. And this one is kind of a little bit of the intro that he did for it. I am writing about a skill I think that would be a great risk versus reward use for the Necromancer. Since they're all about the balance of things, I went with the name Balance. I know, not super original, but I like it. Again, I don't know about exact the percentages of how things work. I just kind of threw this there in a little mock-up of the skill and possible runes for it. I hope you enjoy and keep up the great work. A balance. Balance will bring the skill will bring balance to your health and resources when used. If you have low health, it will drain an amount of your resource spender, which is essence for the Necromancer, so that way the two will become even. Conversely, if your health is high and your mana's low, or your essence is low, it will then drain your life in order to go through and fill out your resource, so that way they become equal. And the skill basically will work so that way whatever percentage it is that you're at, if you're at like 50% health and the 10% mana, it will go and kind of like go and balance them out around like 30-ish percent, whatever is the midway point to go and kind of give you an equal amount of life and the essence. And so it also if you're draining life. So that way if like the mana itself is going into your health, it will also give you an armor bonus. And if your health is going into your mana, it will give you a damage bonus. Or sorry, I got that reversed. So that way if you're draining your life, so if the life is going into your mana, you gain an armor bonus. If your mana is going into your life, you'll gain a damage bonus. For a certain amount of time to also have like a little effect on there. The runes themselves are also kind of like a little set of defensive or offensive abilities. It will be upon activation, you and your minions will explode with shards of bone equal to X percentage of the resource drained or health drained. The poison, you let loose a ring of poison attacks that also is equal to a percentage of the amount that's kind of like balanced. Controlled, which will buff your next corpse explosion by a certain amount of weapon percent damage equal to like the difference drained. Another one will make it so that way your blood rush is free to cast for a certain amount of time, just so that way you can maybe use it as like an escape mechanism. And then finally, like perfectly balanced, when activated, both your life and mana are equal, but you'll lose a percentage of life and mana and gain a huge damage boost from it. It's some nice little, like quirky little things there that I feel is kind of good. Or if you're going in, the way that it's went through and it's designed, so that way if you're going and spending all of your resources, it's a way to go and take your health and to give yourself more resources. I actually would kind of prefer it to where if you like flipped it, so that way if you're taking health and turning it into mana, that it increases your damage. But if it's you're taking from mana and putting it into health, it increases your defense because that's kind of like the correlation that I see. I wouldn't be using the skill to put health into mana unless I'm in a position that makes me stronger, and I would only be wanting to turn mana into health if I'm in a position where I'm weak. But it was a really interesting concept. I don't know how the developers would go through and like work that into a skill or what type of engine would have to go into the background to go and power that. But I found it as a really awesome like little way that you could turn it into a necromancer. But the biggest thing also is it's unique. The other classes, the closest you could get from it is what is it? Blood ritual from the witch doctors where they reduce the casting cost of their spells, but it also takes a little bit of your health every time that you go and cast it. Whereas this is something that you could almost use as like it's a pseudo preparation that you can use to drain a little bit of health to go through and give you the essence. I guess one of the other things that they could do for it is make the rune effects like say make it to where the balance takes health away and turns it into essence, and there might be a rune that will flip it where it turns essence into health, and just maybe increase the cooldown. But just keeping that core mechanic of it, something where it treats, both your health and your essence as like one total pool, and that seems like very, very necromancer to me. Not outs like going outside of Diablo 2, but just like kind of like that necromancer archetype. They deal with the undead and manipulating life force and stuff like that. How they can easily just, if you like kind of like run out of your mana or your spell casting capabilities, oh well, let me just go through and use like the power innately like within my blood, or even like let me go through and drain the life from another being to go and fuel my spells or fuel my magic. So it seems like that's a very like kind of like core concept of the necromancer, being able to manipulate life as just another type of resource. So that's one that really stood out to me. But this next one is just it is just like way out there. And this one I see in chat, this one comes from Slacker Rice, and this is just he like went above and beyond on this particular one. Let me go through, and because he went through and did like a full write-up complete with pictures and everything for his one kind of like skill concept. And he did multiple skill concepts at that. It wasn't just like one. So in the like the first screenshot that you have here, he has like the summon bone dragon, or the command bow dragon, bone dragon. And he is going through and discussing there how he wanted to go and put a quick kind of like presentation to better explain his thought process for like the bone dragon and things. But going through and checking out here, he even went through and had like an introduction and about how he felt during the opening, about how big of a fanboy for Diablo, for the Necromancer from Diablo 2 was, and just how he was like watching that opening ceremony and was just like, oh my god, it's like death, oh it's the Necromancer. And just going and talking about kind of like the concepts and things that for what it is, what a necromancer means to him. And then as much as he loves playing like a pet witch doctor or Thorns Crusader in Diablo 3, it just doesn't feel the same as it did in Diablo 2. And he loves what Blizzard is going for, which is like the Commander of the Dead concept, where you're controlling this horde of skeletons, bones, and curses, and it's just like deadly serious. And the only thing that he noticed is that the Necromancer seemed relatively frail within the concept, where you can run away and stuff. But what about like a living like wall of bone or bone armor, something that's maybe a bit less static and not just like the attacking wall that the Witch Doctor has. Oops. That. There we go. Click the wrong button there, sorry about that one. And just he kind of goes through this whole like big thing of like what skills they already have revealed, like what kind of like core concepts that they can do. As you can see, goes into like the damage types, like what's cool, what's awesome, what are some of the things that they could go and remake and go and build, and then like his inspiration for the different skills. He even goes through and writes the lore about it. So as you can see, this is stuff that he's gone fully out on everything. He even drew a piece of concept art here, like for the skill and the summoning of it. And then of course we have like the full thoughts on the what the bone dragon is and what that the skill can do. And so you have the summon a bone dragon. So it has the base, like the physical attribute. It's passive. The bone dragon will have like a cleave ability when he goes through and attacks, and then when you active, he'll charge like a target location, like dealing an area damage. Then of course you'll have like the frost worm rune, where He can go through, like, when he's attacking, he's freezing that target, but also has like a frost nova that will chill and slow enemies within the target location. Chimera, where it has immolation attacks so that they're all ticking for fire damage around him, and he can go through and start breathing a cone of fire. Zombie dragon, it's gonna have like he's gonna have a stacking dot on the one particular person, and then he also can spread like the decrepified curse. Or something like a plague around him that will hit multiple enemies. The blood dragon that will heal you whenever it goes through an attacks can also like pierce enemies and all bring them in, or like siphon essence from enemy or any enemy that's hit. And then you have like the abyssal dragon, which can absorb corpses up around him, so that way it will kind of like give him a buff over time. And then finally, his active skill will sacrifice it, and then all of the absorbed corpses will do a like huge corpse explosion that will also then trap enemies in like a bone prison. So it really, really awesome, and I really find it funny that you're going on like this whole big like dragon concept, and if I go in the I'm sure Miss Cheetah's probably already talking about it in chat right now. I have this PowerPoint presentation up so I can't see it, but we got into this big long conversation with Neil Logan, one of the artists over there at Blizzard, VFX artist, that he was really big into the lore and everything, and he was talking about how like there are no dragons in Diablo. There's these big like monsters that could just be like the bones of demons, but there's nothing within it that actually is like a flat out dragon. That is like one of these things that humans had gotten like this concept or this like, these ideas of dragons from going through and like maybe looking at the bones of demons and such. But it was this nice big long discussion about it. But I still would love to go through and see this in and just force Neil. Look, Neil, there's dragons in Diablo, okay? Deal with it. And of course, he goes even further with talking about how you can make the Trangle, or I guess it's Traggle now, they got rid of the N, making that the set that will then co go and continue to just like buff this zombie dragon skill. And then just some other little items that you can go through and throw on there to further buff up like certain runes or abilities of it. And this just for how much work got put into this, of course, had to go and give give a slacker here some props, and you earned that challenge coin, good sir. So we'll be going through contacting you via email to go through and get in touch with like shipping and all that other stuff so we can go and get that mailed out. But I that is absolutely awesome, great work there, Rice. That is like that you went like above and beyond. The photos, lore, armor sets, runes, everything. It just was a lot of awesome work that you did there. And I'll try and go through and see. Maybe we can go through and do a post up on Diablo.blizzpro with all of your concepts. So just so that way we can go and get it out there for everyone to go and see. For those that might be listening to the audio-only version, might not be catching this on Twitch or YouTube. We'll see about going through and getting some images from this up on our Diablo site, so that way you can go and check it out. So again, congratulations. Rice, congratulations, Aaron, for the being the winners of the Necromancer contest, but also still thank you, for the other dozen or so entries that we had in this contest. Really appreciate all the entries and emails that we got from you guys, all of your ideas, and we again we'll be going through and sending these all over to the developers so that way they can go and get some feedback on the Necromancer and. It's just kind of like the thing that they really, really asked from us at BlizzCon is they want to hear people's feedback on the Necromancer. They acknowledge that in like kind of the first panel that they did, the Necromancer isn't just a class from Diablo 2. It's 16 years worth of player experiences. It means something different to every person. And so they want to have something that hits home and nails what the Necromancer is. At the BlizzCon demo, for it being a demo, they like nailed the feel of the Necromancer right there. Having that skeletal army that's going through and attacking things and acting as a buffer for you while you can sit back and hit them with bone spears or corpse explosion to then go through and take down the groups and such. And Ryze is going through and mentioning he did send in, he actually sent in this across like a whole bunch of emails and some things to go and help, like some corpse explosion ideas and stuff like that. I did, of course, want to just focus on like your main thing there that you had sent in with the PowerPoint presentation for the dragon. But yeah, that's something that also is equally awesome. Don't really have quite a bit the time to do it here tonight to go through all of it, but it was definitely an awesome concept, and that will also be getting forwarded on, so don't worry about that, man. But that will pretty much be it. We do, if you didn't win or if you didn't enter, don't worry. We've got more contests that are going through, and that will be coming out for the Diablo challenge coins. So you are going to have more chances to win these awesome little guys. So don't worry, stay tuned to the show. On our next episode, we're going to be starting 2017 off with a bang. You'll be able to go check us out there and see what the next contest that we have. We've got two more contests. We have four more coins to go through and give away. So stay tuned. Some of them are might be a little bit easier. Some of them might be a little bit more fun. Keep checking back for more information about how you too can go and win one of these challenge coins. But with that, this pretty much is going to go and bring 2016 to a close for us here at the Westmarch Workshop. But we've got a lot of awesome things in store for 2017. There's going to be a couple of changes coming along with the show, which we'll have more to share with you in January. But just keep an eye out. We probably might be teasing some things on Twitter and what have you. But just sit back. It's all good. It's all really great changes, and hopefully we'll be able to get the schedules and everything matched up. And Stephen will be back here with me, because even like going through and talking about it leading up to the show. Like the show notes. There's so much that Leviathan wanted to go through and share, and he had a lot of things that he wanted to come back and address from like last episode because he was really bummed about having to miss out on it. So we've got a lot of great stuff to go through and talk about from both of us. And with that, it is going to go and bring us to a close. I did want to go through and mention again that thank you that this podcast is brought to you by blizzpro.com and Lenovo Gaming. So big shout out to our partners there, and go and check them out, Lenovo Gaming on Twitter or twitch.tv/LenovoGaming, to check out all of the great and amazing content that they're going to go through and be putting out, the contests that they'll be running, and just thanks to them for helping partnering with us and helping us support all the shows across the BlizzPro network. If there's anything that you want to go through and feedback that you want to leave for us, you can always drop us a line at westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter. We're at the WM Workshop. And of course, you can find us. We live stream here every other Wednesday night for now. At twitch.tv/blizzpro at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And while you're here, go and check out all the other content that we do. Sunday nights is Well Met, our Hearthstone show. Tuesday nights is the Heroes Power Hour, covering Heroes of the Storm. And Thursday nights is the Payload, our Overwatch podcast. And if you like everything that you see, go ahead, click that little follow button so you can get notified when any of our shows go live. And if you want to go and support not only our show, but the entire BlizzPro network, you can also go through and subscribe to us to go through and help out us continue to create content. for both our shows and our website, blizzpro.com, which you can find everything that we talked about here tonight on the show and more at diablo.blizzpro.com. We're even in-game. You can check us out. We're the BlizzPro clan. As we're going to go through, we expect a lot of activity coming with Season 9, so you'll want to go and get your entry into the clan secured early, just in case we go and fill up, which has been the case for most of the other seasons. If you don't want to leave your current clan, you can always go through and check us with the Westmarch Workshop in-game community, so that way you don't have to go and leave your own clan if you just want to chat with us. We're always, you have the discord.gg/blizzpro. I've actually been spending most nights, sad to say I have been playing mainly Heroes of the Storm lately, but I have been spending most nights on the Discord channel if you ever just want to go through and stop by. It generally is late. It's going to be around like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock Eastern time. So it is around like that midnight hour, but for a little bit, if you want to just come chat, hang out, maybe even play some Heroes and what have you. And of course, finally, you can follow us individually. I am at NineBallGamer on Twitter, and you can find me at twitch.tv/NineBall. I have been putting more of an effort to at least try and get out there and stream a couple of times a week. I'm not going to have anything completely cohesive until after the holiday season's over, but you can also go through and follow my co-host Leviathan at LeviathanD3, and you can find his channel at twitch.tv/Leviathan111. He's taking a little bit of time off just because he's been having some dealing with some of that winter sickness lately, but he should hopefully be back to streaming full time next week. So go through, keep an eye out, check us out. And by all means, stay tuned, because we've got some really, really exciting stuff coming in the future here at Westmarch Workshop and at BlizzPro. So again, thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you in 2017.